If you've ever been in a bamboo forest, maybe you felt like I did. It's loud with the birds and insects all around, but there's an absolute peace. They say you can hear bamboo grow, but I wonder if it's more that being among bamboo slows your heart along with your mind so that you can sense things around you at an increased volume. I don't know, I've never heard it grow. I'm Shauna Dobie, the editor of Canada's Local Gardener magazine, and this is Flora and Fauna. Today, I talked to Gary Hedberg, who grew bamboo in his South Surrey, BC garden a couple of years ago. You can see the article on his amazing garden in an old issue of Canada's Local Gardener, or you can see it online. Now, when I say he grew bamboo, I don't mean little plants you can grow in Toronto, say. I mean 40 or 50 foot tall bamboo plants, huge clumps of them. And this wasn't a job like, say, being a hairdresser or a real estate agent. It was a hobby like, say, raising cockatoos. I'm going to let Gary tell you more. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? What do you do? Because you're not a bamboo grower. That's not your job.
No, I'm not a bamboo grower. No, interestingly, I was in the hairstyling business for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I had a number of hairstyling shops. And then when I was about 42, about 30 years ago, I got tired of staff and so on. So I went into real estate. And both careers were very successful. And I retired at the beginning of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of fun. But on the side, we've done a number of things. I raised macaws and cockatoos for a number of years.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. My daughter wanted a canary, and that's what started. We never got the canary. But we had up to 26, 28 birds, mm-hmm. But larger ones. And we had acreage, so we could do it. About 35 years ago, we were on our way to the P&E, which is a large fair here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we always parked on this one street, and this older house, he had a strip of bamboo down his sidewalk, and it was large, and it was just beautiful. It enthralled me every time we parked there. Mm-hmm. And one year, we parked there, and all the bamboo was dead. I couldn't believe it. It was in the late 70s, I guess, possibly 1980. Mm-hmm. My kids were little, and they're 47 and 48 now. And it was all dead, other than just a couple little shoots there. Mm-hmm. So we went to the P&E, and then we came back, and I went and knocked on his door. I said, "What happened to your bamboo?" And he shrugged his shoulders and said, "I guess it died." And I went home, and I talked to him a bit, and then I went home and thought about it. We had 1.6 acres, mm-hmm. and it just enthralled me. And so I read about it, and apparently certain types of bamboo all over the world, they die at the same time. It's like they have an inner clock on them.
All bamboo die at the same time? I looked into this. It turns out that some types of bamboo, some species, die after their single flowering. They take about, let's say, 80 years to flower, depending on the species, and all bamboo clones from a particular cohort will die within a few years of each other, no matter where in the world they are. There's a kind of alarm clock in every cell that suddenly says, "It's time, bloom," and they bloom, and then they die. Since a bamboo forest is often from just one bamboo plant, they increase by runners underground, the entire forest can bloom all at once and then die within a couple of years. Not all species will flower only once, nor all together.
I said, "Look, you've got a couple little pieces there. Would you mind if I could buy them off you?" Or he said, "You can have them. Just take them." So I took them home, and that's where my large clumps of bamboo that you saw, mm-hmm. that's where they came from.
Really? That house that you were living in then, was that the same house that we visited?
No, that was an earlier house. We were 21 years in the first house we built in North Surrey. And then 23 years ago, we moved to South Surrey, the house that you visited. And those two large clumps I moved, they were just from my old house, I moved a root ball about 12, 16 inches diameter with what looked like a couple of broomsticks. And I placed them to give us privacy, those two large clumps that you saw, mm-hmm. and they grew to what they were. Absolutely fascinating.
It really is. It was truly spectacular. So do you know what type that bamboo was?
You know what? That's one of the few that I don't know. It could be Phyllostachys bambusoides. It could be Phyllostachys vivax. Mm-hmm. But I looked those up as to when they flowered, and that doesn't coincide with flowering in roughly 1980. So mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure, although the other ones I have, I pretty much know what they are. Those two original ones, I'm not 100% sure.
Bamboo flowers at a certain time. It is almost like an annual, isn't it? That it doesn't take a year, but it goes through one life cycle until it flowers. And that can take many, many years.
It can be 70 to 120 years. Absolutely fascinating. And I've looked at it. Where is the timer in that thing?
Right.
Is it in the root? Is it in the stalk? I have no idea, but it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, one variety, they'll all happen at the same time all over the world.
Exactly. Exactly. Because when that original one that I saw here at the PNE, you know, when he told me it flowered and it died, I went to a number of other nurseries that I knew had bamboo that I had seen. And I went there and theirs had died too. So theirs mm-hmm. was the same kind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I walked into, I think it was called Coco's Nursery. And I said, "Where's your bamboo?" He said, shrugged his shoulders, and he said, "It died." And so I knew it was the same kind.
When we talk about bamboo, we're not talking about a genus of plant or even a plant family. If you studied biology in high school, you might remember King Philip came over for good spaghetti, or keep pond clean or frog get sick. It's a mnemonic for biological classification from general to specific: kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Well, bamboo is in a subfamily of a clade of the family Poaceae. You'd have to go further in biology than high school to get to subfamilies and clades. There are, in fact, about 128 genera of bamboo. Do you know what exactly bamboo? I mean, we all know that it's that section tree-looking thing, but what is it beyond that?
It's a grass, the mm-hmm. largest grass in the world. And if you go on YouTube, you can see bamboo that's 6-7 inches in diameter. I was just watching the other day somebody harvesting bamboo shoots, and of a 6 or 7 inch diameter bamboo, they're maybe a foot high, just coming out of the ground. They cut it off underneath and they get this huge chunk of bamboo shoot.
So it's not even that there is one genus that's bamboo. There are several different genera. And the one that we grow in Canada most of the time, and I only know this from looking it up, was Phyllostachys?
Phyllostachys is the larger one. And most of what we have here is Phyllostachys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that most of what you grew?
We had about 9 or 10 different kinds. We had Phyllostachys angusta that I got from an old fellow. He's gone now, but he was near where we are living now. And he was a real bamboo aficionado. He had a number of different kinds of bamboo in his garden. And the Bamboo Society in Seattle used to come up and tour his garden. And that was some years ago. He's been dead now, probably 20 years, I guess, 25 years. But he was an amazing guy. He knew all the Latin names. I struggled with that. And I got stone bamboo from him, which is Phyllostachys angusta. I got incense bamboo from him, which is Phyllostachys astrovaginata. And I got a smaller bamboo that only grows about 2 feet high. I got from him. He was an interesting guy, a little bit cranky, but I knew he had this bamboo. He had a used bookstore in White Rock here. And I went to his bookstore and asked him if I could come and see his bamboo. And then when I did, I asked him, could I buy some of these, you know, a clump off him? He said, "You're the first person to ask to buy some."
Yeah,
he said, "Everybody wants it given to them." So he ended up giving it to me. So he was an interesting guy.
If you want to grow bamboo in Canada, you have a few options, most of them Phyllostachys, a few Fargesia, and a couple of others. That is, unless your winter temperature goes below minus 20 degrees Celsius. So given that there is currently an extreme cold warning in Winnipeg and the temperature is going down to minus 31 tonight, I don't think I'll bother. But if you're in BC or Southern Ontario or Nova Scotia, PEI or New Brunswick, go ahead. And if you have a favorable microclimate in your yard, the rhizomes will live to minus 31, though the stems will die at minus 20. You can find bamboo from a few Canadian retailers online if you can't find it at your nursery. Let me ask you about that incense bamboo. Why is it, does it smell nice when you burn it? Or
It has like a waxy feel on it. It doesn't mm-hmm. get really big. It gets maybe an inch and a quarter in diameter. It has a little bit of a waxy feel. And when you rub it, you can smell a little bit like incense.
Ooh, sounds lovely.
It's a beautiful bamboo. If you look it up, the branches come out in such an even way. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous bamboo. Well, I think they're all gorgeous. But...
Did you or do you grow any inside?
No. I've never really tried that. My wife, Brenda's a perfectionist, and I'm not. And so, you know, blowing the dead leaves off the bamboo or off of the backyard was a constant chore. And bamboo is evergreen. But when they say something is evergreen, what that means is it loses its leaves all year. Mm-hmm. So it's named evergreen, but in the summertime, bamboo would lose some leaves because it wants to be wet, and it's hard to keep a large clump of bamboo wet. So it would lose leaves, and so it was a constant job.
To grow bamboo indoors, you need plenty of light and good humidity. But what is plenty of light? Well, all I can say is listen to my podcast with Daryl Cheng, the king of plant light. Let's say you need to keep it in a room with big windows facing any direction but north, and keep it close to the window. It depends on the species, but most bamboo can actually handle direct sunlight. For humidity, you can use a humidifier near your bamboo. Don't bother with a pebble tray because they don't actually do much for humidity. Bamboo is difficult to grow inside, but for the truly accomplished plants person, give it a try. One more thing, the lucky bamboo you see everywhere that's braided or corkscrewed and comes in a glass of water, it isn't actually bamboo. It's a kind of dracaena. Care for these is a little different. How many varieties did you end up growing?
I had 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. Two clumping. I had Phyllostachys aureocoi. That's mm-hmm. a beautiful clumping bamboo. And all of these are hardy here in Vancouver. I had black bamboo, which is not hardy. Mm-hmm. I had Phyllostachys borinda angustissima, which is a very fine, very delicate bamboo. It's a clumping bamboo. It looks like a waterfall.
Oh,
just gorgeous. But some of these, the two clumping bamboos that I had, they weren't as cold hardy mm-hmm. as the big bamboos. Last year was quite cold, and then the wind on top of it. It was hard on some of the bamboos. Mm-hmm. The aureocoi, it lost probably 95% of its leaves.
Oh, really?
And I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but it came back and there was maybe 10, 15% of the stalks that died. So they had to be cut out. But I would hate to see if it was colder. Mm-hmm. You know, it was down to like minus 14 and a bad wind. And so it was hard on the black bamboo that I had. I lost about 50% of the stalks on it just because it was too cold.
Is it just me who feels a little schadenfreude that someone in the Vancouver area lost a bit of some plants to the cold? But that's not fair at all. I'm ashamed of my malicious joy, but I still feel it. But I am ashamed. I live in Winnipeg now.
Yes.
There's no growing bamboo here. I thought perhaps I'd be able to grow it indoors. There are a couple that they recommend, but I can't find them. Are there some that you've regretted growing? Because they're runners, but I understand they don't really run in Canada. They more wander.
Well, our property was, we were fortunate and unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Because when they excavated for the house, they put all the hardpan or clay in the backyard, and mm-hmm. they built it up a little bit with this clay. And then they put about a half an inch of soil and put turf on top. So our soil was terrible for growing things because it was clay. But when it came to bamboo, as you probably noticed when you were here, they were mounded up mm-hmm. around the bamboo. And I had to do that to give them some soil to live in, because bamboo doesn't really like to live in clay. It certainly won't thrive. So it was mounded up 16, 18, 20, 24 inches just over the years with compost or bark mulch, mushroom manure, better soil. And so what would happen, it would stay there because that's where the juice was. That's where the goods were. Mm-hmm. And then when it, in the spring, it shoots up Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, it puts its runners out. And so on the edge of the clump, you could almost see them come out. And I was able to keep them trimmed by doing that because I would just cut them off. And if they were low enough in that clump, then they would come out just underneath the grass. And some the larger bamboos almost looked like it was a molehill because they would be larger than my thumb going under the grass. So I had a bamboo shovel, a heavy, unbreakable shovel, metal handle, and I would just chop them off and take them out.
Wow.
So it was fortunate and unfortunate because if our soil was like our old house, 18, 20 inches of topsoil, it would have been a nightmare because then they can run for 20 feet and come up where you don't expect them. Whereas here, I could keep them because of the mound that I had built and the poor soil, you know, the grass on top of the clay, basically.
You win some, you lose some, you know, you've got lemons and you made lemonade out of it. I imagine Gary standing over the lawn watching a growing mole tunnel with his shovel in hand. But if you don't grow bamboo, you probably have an idea of what it's like growing something that spreads by runners. Strawberries, mint, bugleweed, crocosmia, lily of the valley, these are all plants you need to keep contained. We're going to take a break now to hear from Ian at HQ, and then we'll be back for more about growing bamboo with Gary Hedberg.
Canada's local gardener just got even better. Flora and Fauna, a new e-digest coming weekly. Go to localgardener.net to find out more information. That's localgardener.net.
Now you're living in a condo, I understand. Is that correct?
Right, with a 900 square foot patio.
Okay.
Which
well,
makes it doable.
Good. Yeah. But the house that my mom and I visited, is that where you grew all the different bamboos or had you had them when you moved in?
No, we just had one kind when we moved there. It's hard to stay with one kind if you love it.
And that's when you started collecting.
That's right. Yeah.
And are you able to do that in Vancouver? Are there enough nurseries that sell it?
I don't think I got any of mine from a nursery.
Oh, okay. Where did you get them?
Everywhere. You know, people here, you have bamboo and they come by. There was another fella in White Rock, a couple miles from us. He was out on a bike ride one Sunday morning and he ended up knocking on our front door. He went by the walkway that was right beside our house. And he said, "You got bamboo?" I said, "I do." And he said, "Can I have a look?" And I ended up swapping a couple with him because he had some different ones. And I got pretty much all of mine that way. I'm not sure I bought any.
Wow.
Bamboo people are generally nice people.
I gather in Canada, it's not a huge community.
That's right. Yeah. And most people are very naive. Mm-hmm. They think that, oh, bamboo, woo. You know, you mentioned bamboo in conversation, they step back from you like your runners are going to go into their garden or something.
Oh,
and it's naive, bordering ignorance. And I don't mean that horribly negative, just a little bit negative.
Of your bamboos, did they need any special treatment getting started? Or I guess if you dug them out of another person's garden, they didn't really. Or how did you do it? Did you bring home a comb? Is it?
Yeah, a clump,
you know,
with some roots. And you put it in and you treat it like grass. I mean, I fed mine grass fertilizer, just plain old grass fertilizer.
Oh.
Because they are a grass and you don't want to give them any of the elements that cause flowering. Well, that's the last thing you want to do. I just fed mine grass fertilizer starting in the spring. I would sprinkle it on, not overly heavy, but when they were growing and shooting up, I would give them a little more. And then in the fall, I was a little careful because that's when they're sending out their runners. So I didn't give them that much in the fall. But basically, grass fertilizer sustains them.
Yep, you need a lot of grass fertilizer for bamboo. It likes a lot of nitrogen, just like a grass, which it is. Bamboo rhizomes are usually in the top few inches of soil. The roots go deeper, but only to about 14 inches. What this means in some tropical countries is that bamboo is really successful at preventing soil erosion. It also doesn't mind being cut. In fact, it responds to chopping down one tree or one bamboo in a colony by sending out more stolons to grow new ones. It's a crazy kind of wonder plant. Did you have to wrap any over the colder months?
No, and they were too big to wrap. you know, things like bamboo, or not bamboo, bananas and stuff here, you can wrap, you know, the tallest they're going to get that you're going to want to wrap is 6 or 7 feet, and you can do that. But these were just, you know, our big bamboo was 50 feet tall. Mm-hmm. The black bamboo was probably 20, 22 feet tall. Mm-hmm. You just can't even think about it. But if you could, it would be wonderful, because the wind along with the cold is really what is hard on them.
Right. I guess it desiccates it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have, I can't remember, it's a couple of years ago now, did you have any of the very short varieties?
I had one that I got from the old fellow, Dirk Schouten was his name. I had one that was only about 2 feet tall, and that was, I let that grow wild along the creek. It was only about 2 feet tall. It kind of ran, and the only problem I had with that one is that we had trouble with beavers in the creek, and they decimated a few things on our gardens and trees. They did nip off some of that short bamboo. It was real close to the top of the bank, and they, because what they were doing is coming out of the creek and cutting things and dragging them back into the creek to create a dam. Mm-hmm. And the shorter ones, they would cut them off and take them. But they only did that a little bit. The bigger ones, we did pretty good. Other than one clump, they took a few from there. And then they didn't bother us anymore.
Yeah, I would wonder if they would notice the difference between, I guess they have their favorite tree species and bamboo would not be among them.
No, I think they just used it for their dam, not for eating. A lot of them, they do eat the bark on the trees, and they mm-hmm. do eat part of the trees. In fact, they're the only animal that can digest cellulose.
Oh, really?
From what I've read. Yeah, from what I've read. I'm not a beaver expert.
Of course, beavers eat the bark of trees, but they also eat leaves and buds of deciduous trees, and they eat lily roots and apples and clover. They even have been known to eat beans and corn and occasionally a mushroom. So I guess it's not too surprising that they would eat bamboo, nor that they would use it in building their lodges. Of the ones you grew, what was your favorite? What was your very favorite one?
I'm not sure I could pin it down to one. Phyllostachys Robert Young is fairly rare out here. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, I don't know if you remember, it's sort of in the middle of the yard, very yellow. And it has a green stripe on it, intermittent green stripe. Mm-hmm. And it's just comes up almost bluish and then turns bright yellow. And when the sun was on a certain angle on it, it looked translucent. I mean, just an illusion. But it was a beautiful bamboo. That was one. And that's one I got from the old fella. It's just a beautiful bamboo. But you can buy that around. Another one was it's called the Phyllostachys aureacoi, and it was a clumping bamboo, and it's not too high. It's maybe 12, 14 feet high, and it has the sections in the comb are compacted. It's just fascinating. I made a number of walking sticks from it because mm-hmm. it doesn't look like regular bamboo with the comb sections 8, 10, 12 inches apart, but they're compacted, and well, to me, they're fascinating. To some other people, they may not be, but they make a beautiful cane or a walking stick. Those are probably the more interesting one. I had one. It's called Chinese walking stick bamboo, and it's Chimono bambusa timidisinoda or something. I'm not good with the Latin names, but it has flared joints. And if it gets big enough in China, they'll make a walking stick out of it. Mine never got quite that big. Mine got to be about close to half an inch, but not quite in diameter. Mm-hmm. I fed it, and it was quite invasive. If you left the leaves on the ground, the roots would come up amongst the damp leaves and then go back down again into the soil. I tried to get it to grow big enough, but I'd never had enough years there because I only got that maybe 4 or 5 years ago or something.
According to the website bamboobatu.com, that's bamboobatu.com, which operates from California. The cold hardiest bamboo is one called Arundinaria giganticum macon. The site says that it will survive temperatures as low as minus 25 Fahrenheit, which is minus 31 Celsius. It doesn't say if the stems survive that temperature or just the roots. I would guess just the roots. I did have a clump of bamboo for a little while in Toronto. I put it out in the back beside our parking spot. I didn't water it enough. My hose didn't reach, and being behind the fence, I didn't think about it much. But it kept chugging along, parched summer after summer, until my neighbors did a renovation in their backyard and had a new parking pad poured. And that was the end of my bamboo. How long did you live in that house?
23 years. It's a mature garden is an amazing thing.
It really was, yeah. And I understand you're still going back and teaching the new owners.
Yeah, he wanted some orientations. Mm-hmm. And the first one was about 3 hours. They're very nice people. We're thrilled to have sold to them. They're a newly retired couple. He was retired from the RCMP, and she's a newly retired nurse. And her mother is also a gardener. And our upstairs in the house was perfect for her. And we had a 3-car garage, and he's a car guy. When they came to look at the house, when we put it for sale, he just stood in the backyard and looked into the backyard. He was mesmerized with it. Even though we had a number of other people look at it, they just passed by the windows, and we knew who we wanted to sell to, and they made the best offer. So,
would you have sold to them if they'd made a lower offer?
Yes, but don't ask me how much. I really don't know, but you know what? If it was $10,000, $15,000 less, I think we would have. But they offered a little over list because they wanted it, and we had lights in it in the backyard, shining up in the bamboo. And when they looked at it, my son-in-law listed it. He's a realtor. And the night before the showings, he got COVID. And he phoned and he said, I can't show the house. He did a beautiful brochure. Everything was done beautifully. And Sean was ready to show it. And he phoned and he said, I'm sick with COVID. I can't go out. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, no problem. I'll show it. I was a realtor, newly retired. So when the people came, I told the realtor and the buyers, I said, Sean had an unexpected emergency. So I'm opening the house. If you have any questions, I know the house quite well. And so it worked out quite well. And the buyers, David and Susan, they love the house. They love the garden. And I said to them and their realtor, I said, if you like this house, you should come back at night. The backyard is magical at night. And they said, would your wife mind? They knew by then I was the owner. And I said, absolutely not. So they came back at 9:30 at night, and it was dark. They went upstairs. I went upstairs with David. We were standing on the balcony, and he's looking out, and the bamboo was lit up with lights from the bottom. And it did. It looked magical. And he just looked at it. And I said, well, what do you think, David? He said, it's magical. And that was it.
So it turns out that a beautifully lit garden full of bamboo is a selling point. Well, it certainly would be for me. And now we're going to turn it over to head office to see what they have to say. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Gary Hedberg and more talk about his garden.
Find out what's growing on. Follow Canada's Local Gardener magazine on social media. Explore the colorful world of gardening with us. Discover our special offers and take part in our online contests. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Get growing with us.
In your garden, you had quite a bit other than bamboo to look at, and a lot of interesting things. Do you want to talk about some of them?
One of the things we had was podophyllum. And I think they were at their peak when you were there, just in that the bed beside the patio. We call that the treasure bed. We put things in there that were interesting that you wanted to see close up. And podophyllum are a really interesting plant. Not common. You won't find it in your regular nurseries. But they come up, just one stalk, breaks into two large leaves, 12, 14, 16 inches in diameter, multi-lobed, almost like a hand. And then they have these flower underneath, a dark burgundy, look like dark burgundy balls. You have to hunt for the flower. That bed, because it was, again, on hardpan, but we had built it up, but it got water It got watered well, and it was probably the wettest spot in the garden. Mm-hmm. So the podophyllum thrived there. Like I say, it's not something that you would find typically in a nursery. And babies came up everywhere. And so I have a hard time just pulling a plant out of the garden where it doesn't belong and throwing it away. You have to give it to somebody. You have to repot it. You have to do something with it. It's just rude and immoral to pull it up and throw it in the compost. So with the podophyllum, they came up and they don't look like much the first year when they come up. But I took a bulb planter, pulled some of these, just pushed it down around the new small podophyllum. You turn it enough and it breaks loose and you can take it out. And then I put them in 4-inch pots. So next thing you know, I had 75 or 90 4-inch pots with little podophyllums in it. And there was only two nurseries in Vancouver, Phoenix Perennials and Southlands Nursery, that would sell that type of thing. It's uncommon, even rare. So I was at Phoenix Perennials and I took a video because I used to have an Instagram site before it was hacked. And I put a number of these things on that site. And I had this video of podophyllum, and I called it, between Brenda and I, my marketing video. So when I went to see Gary Lewis at Phoenix Perennials, I said, "Where's your podophyllums?" He said, "I don't have any this year." I showed him my video and I said, I've got a number of them. He said, are you going to sell them? I said, absolutely. So that year I sold, he pays 50% of what they sell them for. And a 4-inch podophyllum with a little one in it, they would sell for $29.95. They're rare. And so I took some to him. I took some to Southlands. And that year I sold $1,440 at $15 a piece of podophyllums. And it wasn't actually the money. It was just the idea that I did it. You know, it was fun.
I wonder why podophyllum is so expensive. Is it super easy to grow? Or is it just the conditions you had?
I think it was probably more the conditions we had. It likes the damp roots. And that area beside the patio was, you know, it was built up again. But it was, the bed sprinklers there went on every day or every second day. I think it's just something that lots of people just don't know about. If you have a bed of podophyllum, it's beautiful. When you saw them, they were probably 3 feet tall, and these huge leaves on top, and you look underneath and there's these flowers. They're so unlike everything else that you see in a garden shop.
I looked into podophyllum, or mayapple as it's often called. I don't think he had the Canadian one because he said the flower was purple. I'm guessing he had podophyllum pleanthium, which is from Asia, and it's hardy to USDA Zone 6. If you're interested in growing the Canadian podophyllum, which is podophyllum peltatum, it is hardy to USDA Zone 3, but it can be difficult to find, and the seeds take 4 to 5 years to grow to maturity. If I still lived in Toronto, I think I'd be inclined to try a variety called Spotty Dotty or one of the other podophyllum with variegated leaves. They're gorgeous. Visiting a garden, visiting all the gardens that we did in Vancouver is very much unlike visiting gardens in the rest of Canada.
Right.
You can just grow so much more. That what amazes me, and I love it, is that the flowers become, it seems, of lesser importance. What's really important is the foliage on the plants and the greenery and the shrubs and the subshrubs and all those things.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And our garden was really, really not about the flowers. In the front yard, there was virtually no flowers. And yet it looked, in my mind, amazing. And the backyard, we had that hardy hibiscus. Mm-hmm. We had the cardiocrinum that you saw, the tall with the pendulous flowers on it. And you know, you were there. It was the day of the heat dome or the day before. And that cardiocrinum was absolutely devastated by the heat. The leaves turned brown. It just couldn't take that heat. Even though the roots were watered, the day after you were there and took those pictures, it was devastated. So it's a good thing you weren't a day late.
That's the first time I've ever heard somebody say we were there at exactly the right time.
You were, because by the next day, that cardiocrinum was devastated. just devastated. Even the leaves were brown and wrinkled. It looked horrible.
That was the year that Vancouver had the terrible heat wave. It went above 40, didn't it?
Yeah. And they called it a heat dome. And you got there just in time.
Yeah. And then we went to Chilliwack and it was, I can remember, it was pretty awful.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what the cardiocrinum is? It's a kind of lily, is it? Or does it just look like one?
I think it just looks like a lily. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really a lily, but it comes from, we bought a couple, a number of years previous, and we had one grow in that treasure bed. And the seed pods on it, once it blooms and the seed pods grow to their max, they're almost the size of an egg. Inside, the seeds are just wafered, like little wafers in there. They're fascinating. So when the seed pod dries, the seeds are just a tiny seed in about a half inch flat translucent wafer, and the wind will pick them up and take them. And not many grow from seed. That one that you saw, that was a volunteer. It came up in that spot, wasn't the best spot for it, from the one we originally had over in the patio bed. They'll come up and they'll have some foliage the first couple of years. And then it takes a number of years for the root system to develop enough to send up a tall flower stalk. And the one that you saw came up in the spring. And by end of June, that stalk was 8.5 feet tall with the flower on it. And then there were some other ones at the base. We had another one this last summer that we just passed because we were still in the house. And they just propagate that way. They were another fascinating plant. To grow 8.5 feet tall and have a beautiful 10-inch pendulous flower on them, you don't see that every day.
Ah, the Cardiogrenum giganticum. It is also known as the giant Himalayan lily, and it is a wonder to behold. It's hardy to zone 7, and it's a kind of lily, at least it's in the lily family. It grows from a bulb, but if you start a plant from seed or from a bulb offset, it can take 4 to 5 years to bloom. And then once it blooms, it dies. But the bulb will have made offsets, which will bloom in a few years. I wonder if I could grow it in a pot and take it into the basement for the winter. Back to the bamboo for just a second. Apparently some bamboo you can hear grow because it grows.
It grows very fast.
Certain species of bamboo can grow 36 inches in a 24-hour period at a rate of almost 40 millimeters or 1.5 inches an hour. And you can hear it. Have you ever heard it?
I've heard of that. I've read that. Mm-hmm. Ours grew about 14 inches in a day. I marked it. The large bamboo. In fact, I've marked it by putting a wire between two right at the tip, went in for dinner and came back and it was 1.5 inches taller. It would grow over 1 foot a day. They kind of come up and they kind of sit there just a few inches tall and then they take off. And when they do, beware because they're going to grow.
I mentioned it in the introduction to this podcast. We mentioned it just now and you might have heard it elsewhere too. Bamboo grows fast. Have you ever heard of bamboo torture? I thought I had, but I thought it was shoving sharpened bamboo skewers under the fingernails. And just to be clear, that is another form of torture that has been used. The one called bamboo torture, though, has the victim tied down above some bamboo shoots. The shoots are so determined to grow, they penetrate the body. Death occurs probably within a day. There is no proof that it has ever been employed, but the Mythbusters show has proven it to be possible. And there were reports from prisoners of war to the Japanese during World War II that said that it happened. There is one other thing in your garden that I particularly remember, and that was your wood carvings.
Oh, yes. I've always done some woodwork. It's interesting because a lot of people, they kind of don't care where they live. Well, I mean, they want a comfortable house and stuff, but both Brenda and I, we love beauty. Mm-hmm. And we try and make our house beautiful. We, you know, why not live in beautiful surroundings is our thought. And so taking a piece of wood and making something beautiful out of it is a real pleasure. I've always done woodwork my whole life. And so, you know, taking something and taking a piece of wood and making something beautiful out of it it's a lot of fun, a lot of satisfaction.
Isn't there something of that that runs through all of us, the desire to make something that is beautiful? Even if you're strictly a vegetable gardener and you eschew all pretense of ornamental gardening, don't you look at your garden and marvel in how beautiful it is, even the parts with bug-eaten leaves? But Gary's wood carvings are really exceptional, and I urge you to look them up online on our website at localgardener.net. Have you ever heard somebody is manufacturing bamboo bicycles?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You've heard about that, eh?
I've seen them. I've seen them on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I think they're fascinating. It's strong. It's amazingly strong. It kind of makes sense how they make the joints. I'm not sure, but it looks like they're epoxied or fiberglass or something. But you could certainly do it. Or even if you use a metal insert, you know, for the joints, it would be as strong as anything.
Bamboo really is super strong. It is used for making scaffolding in areas where it grows because it's lightweight and can be easily cut at the construction site. It's also flexible, which is so important in earthquake-prone areas. You probably already know that bamboo can be made into everything from chopsticks to paper to towels, but here's something different. The mine kaffan ball. It was developed in 2012 by an Afghani man to clean up minefields. It's a huge ball with an iron casing at the center, with 70 bamboo legs coming out of it and a plastic foot at the end of each leg. The wind blows it across the field. The ball weighs about the same as a typical man. When it goes over a landmine, the mine explodes, and a few bamboo legs will be blown off. But the ball can continue moving over the minefield. It can sustain 4 mine explosions before it needs to be brought back and rebuilt. I'm not clear on whether it's ever been used, but it is darn cool.
Having a garden and enjoying it is, being that close to nature is a beautiful thing. For people that can do it, it's a wonderful hobby to see, you know, to see things grow, to put a garden in and have it turn out to be, you know, like ours was, beautiful in our mind, and then have other people appreciate it too. It's very satisfying, and it's a very healthy thing for people to do.
What are you growing on your terrace? Is it a terrace or a patio?
A patio. We're on the ground floor. We don't have a lot right now. We just moved. We moved about 2 months ago. This summer was kind of lost to us. We weren't going to move until we found something that we really liked. What we found is a 1,535 square foot condo with a 900 square foot patio. We're on the bottom floor of a 12-story high rise. We're the flatlanders here. It was the patio that sold us on it. We've got some pots and a few things. We've got that, I don't know if you remember, that large copper colored bottle that we had. We've got that here. We got a few things, and we brought the hydrangea, the standard hydrangea, topiary hydrangea that we had out on the terrazzo. We have some of the Hakana Kloa, the Japanese grass that we had in the front yard. We brought some of that. We brought the big Japanese maple, the weeping maple that we had in the corner of the patio. It was a son of gun to get in here. We had to bring it over the railing rather than through the suite. So I think next year it'll look a little more mature, but we've had gardens in our homes. We had 21 years in our previous house, 23 in our last house, and it's time to take it down a notch. It won't be as innovative. We won't have the rarities that we had, but we can still enjoy it. And in this condo where we are, it has a rooftop patio with a view from the 13th floor, 360 degrees, and they have huge beds up there that the gardening committee plants. They had tomatoes in there, they had basil, they had all sorts of things in there. And then everybody has access to it. And it's absolutely spectacular there.
It sounds like Gary and his wife Brenda have landed in a perfect condo for their advanced years. We should all be so lucky. I have got to say thank you so much for making time for this. I think that our readers are really going to love hearing from you.
Great. Well, thank you very much for asking me.
And I also want to thank Yasmin Conception, our producer, Carl Thompson, our graphic designer, and Ian Leet, the president, who holds us all together. And I want to thank the Government of Canada for the funding to make Flora and Fauna possible.